This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Can you dig it? We're back straight out of Bushwick with a special hip-hop edition of Arts and Seizures. It's Mike Duke Edison sitting here with Pete Count Zaremba.
Where am I?
It's like a dream,
I see
eh?
You. I'm here. You know what? It's like we never left, Mike. That storm, right? That took us all by surprise. We just left here the last time you took me into Roberta's Bakery. Wow,
That's right.
I bought a loaf of bread there.
That's some storm bread.
That bread lasted us through the storm. It was delicious.
Dude, that Roberta's bread, you could take it on a Conestoga wagon. You could be in California. It'd still be good.
That bread was so good, Mike. But you know what? It was a little pricey. I didn't know whether to eat it or invest it.
First time.
Hey, yo, Maspeth, first time in the big city.
I'm getting around. Yes.
Well, I think we've got a...
And what about that party you went to, you invited us to?
Oh, the Heritage Radio Holiday Party?
The Heritage
Holiday Doobies
Radio
were floating.
Holiday Hosts Hootenanny.
I understand.
Hoedown.
What was the spread there? What was the spread like?
It was our friends at Brooklyn Kitchen hosted the event, there was like a pulled pork. It was like a pork shoulder that had been cooking for like, you know, days, weeks, months, eons, light years.
Big thing of grits.
It was, you know, slow. Yeah. And on grits polenta that that young woman had stirred like with basically like something you would row a canoe with in this giant, you know, pot that looked like it was straight out of Macbeth. She had been stirring it with butter and salt for hours, and I mean, it was just
and then
know,
we, then
creamy
we,
polenta with all the pork on top of it, and over our friends at Brooklyn
and more
Kitchen.
Bread from Roberta's.
And our friends at Roberta's, of course.
Okay, then we survived this storm.
Apparently, though, our executive director, I gave her Christmas doobie. Apparently, she woke up in a pool of potato chips. I guess it was some
good stuff.
I've heard about that, right? The guys here, they've heard of it too.
It's guacamole for me.
It's guacamole to me too. And Mike, and then we had our summit, though. We survived the storm.
Our summit at Bamante's restaurant, the Zaremba Edison summit with, I'm telling you, that waiter was not Italian.
I think he was putting us on.
I tell you, he said he spoke Italian like a native. Native of Borneo.
But he got, you know what, I keep saying, okay, this is a red sauce joint. Red sauce joint. I look at the menu. I don't order red sauce.
I tell you, it was.
I lose.
After that cauldron of vodka that stood in for the martini, which I could have stirred also with like an oar from like a canoe.
That was some martini.
That was like a good count.
That was
like a good count.
All right, but they got us on. You know what? The waiter got us on that supersized hot antipasti. Right,
Every time.
Come on, we paid dearly for that clam oregano.
Yeah,
he
upsold us on a clam.
He did. He upsold us. Right. He definitely took advantage of us. We looked like we were from who knows
from
where.
Maspeth.
From Maspeth or something. I don't know. So we got to find out what that word is for menu.
Dude, it's not a word. I'm telling you, the guy was not speaking Italian. It was just some gibberish he was throwing for the marks.
What do we got here? We got
our good friends, the Gray Sky Appeal.
Hello,
thank you guys.
The applause button.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
There you go. We got Zeke and John here from Gray Sky Appeal.
And we have
I wanted to use my Joe Franklin voice. They are very big. They are bigger than big. They are big, 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 big.
How
big
are they? We appreciate that.
At the forefront. They play gigs, I believe it's called, in the business. They play rap music.
Are they busting rhymes?
We're busting rhymes.
We're busting rhymes.
We're making beats.
They're making beats.
Dude, these guys throw it hard. I want to say John was a former bartender here at Roberta's. Took very good care of us.
Yeah, man.
Back in the old Mike and Judy days, took good care of us. And see, bartender from Roberta's, now a star here on Arts and Seizures.
It's truly an honor.
Dreams can come true.
This is nice, you see. Dreams are made here.
Just like you, Rambo. Just a poor boy in Massbeth dreaming of...
Wandering.
Dreaming of working out behind a pizza joint. Wandered
over the
It all started at a pizza joint, you know?
I wandered over the Grand Street Bridge.
All dreams always start like that. Well, Zarambo, you're OG. I mean, like we were talking about this before, you were the MTV guy. You made hip-hop mainstream.
Well, let's just say...
I mean...
As usual, I was there. We did have NWA.
The Zelig of the entertainment industry.
We first time on national TV was probably the cutting edge on MTV, and definitely. And I was, and everyone's like, "What? This is rap music." We said, "Okay."
What was the overall reaction from people that you worked with?
Positive, like, although they were befuddled.
Yeah,
they were befuddled, and they're a little scared because those guys came on very hard and heavy. In those days.
That was already like the late 80s already when NWA came out. I got to tell you, like, I was like post-Public Enemy, right? NWA?
It took a while for it to penetrate the West Coast, yeah.
And then Two Live Crew, like, famously Nancy Reagan had stomped on their tapes and, you know, the parental advisory sticker was coming out during that era of music. So it was for me as a young, I was very young when that happened, so I remember this reaction of like adults and sort of being taken away from this. Like, you can't listen to this as a kid, which obviously intrigued me even more. Like,
right.
what is this thing?
That's why it's good.
Well,
yeah.
it's good to have the PMRC,
was it,
and those old
Gore?
Ladies.
She was, you know.
You know, yeah. And that stupid sticker,
good.
You know, did, you know, and what was the result of it? After they did that, the most filthy records ever known, you know, to man were foisted on a listing public.
We got to put
records
those
just
on
got filthier
your,
after that.
It just
shit.
Backfired. It just
we
backfired.
Have to put those on your book, Mike. You know, I'm going to talk to your publisher. Put those stickers on your book. That way, that you know what I'm saying.
Rated R for righteous, Daddy-O.
Well, it's kind of has that. I mean, it's kind of died out, right? Because there's no. I mean, does iTunes do advisory sticker? I don't even know. I feel like
it says explicit on there. If you look on the iTunes, it says explicit.
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares?
No one pays in a world
where I can push a button. You know.
There's
watch people ass fucking in a trailer for free.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really too worried about someone spitting some blue lyrics.
Exactly.
He goes blue, Miles.
We work blue. We go
works blue.
There's not really that.
You guys got to keep it clean, though, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Nah.
Probably not.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we just get down to it when you guys...
Bust some rhymes here?
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
Okay. Well, then
bust some rhymes. I love it when Zarambo sounds hip.
This is a title track off our first record. Just Gray Sky Appeal.
All right.
Another day in paradise, spent upon a sinking ship, breathing in the air like hope to catch a bigger fish. Every shade of black had planted in a cumulus, navigated fat, fully function as a lunatic. Salt in the cut, pain is imputed. Odd how I fuck, fetish for ruining a good thing going. Those tuning in, welcome to the program. Grown man losing it, live life simple, frozen in a cold land. Dance to the dismal, technicolor slow jam, shoestring tape. Two soup cans for the ears of the people that might understand. Attracted to the dark side, dirt on my hand. Magnet for hard time, curse where I stand. Enticed by the taste, hoping to cram a few bites in my face for a crack and a scam. Lure it in a sewer, stay shining in shit. Break another lock, pump potent as a fifth. Poison on the rocks, celebrated grit. Toasting to the plot, reason to exist. At the bottom when the top would take a rocket ship. Empty pocket walking, not a dollar for a whip. Waiting at the bus stop, smile on my lips. No matter what pops, ready and equipped. Gray.
Yo, it sounds so nice. What up, Brooklyn? Gray sky pill. Yo.
Alarm clock buzzing, another day in paradise. Paradox, parachute, parachutes, parasite. Paralyzed pain, not think about the outcome. Blue lights coming, thinking I can outrun. Out of town bound, jumping trains like slumming. Ever since a young imposter's radio drumming. Cactus stains, ketchup jacket stains. Another day in paradise, practice pain. Last in, first out, rock the soles of my boot loose. Broken bag, month last, 1G, deuce, deuce. Poverty straight through your area code. That's that great sky appeal, barbarian mode. Let the story unfold, all I see is darkness. I slept with the devils, blamed and slayed the angel carcass. But what goes around ends up in the wishing well, drowning in deadlock. Another day in paradise, wake up wondering, is it coming? I need anything, something splash my face with a cold blast. Drink a glass of water and leave. Only play the low post till the others believe. Might say yes, a card, that's a slug up his sleeve. Lights on sale, shine, getting nothing for free. Paradise, living the best, but expect the worst. Only way I get up is if I'm knocked down first. Knocked down first.
Only way I'll get up if I'm knocked down first.
Gray. Yeah, we gray. Yeah, we gray. What up, Tosh? Gray Scott Peel. All of them gone.
All right, Gray Scott Peel right here on Heart Senses Seizures. Throwing it down live, man. That was all right.
Thanks, guys. Yeah,
thank you, gentlemen.
I don't know what it must seem like. It's sort of a different. You guys were saying you came for sort of from the era where you saw hip hop emerge out of New York City.
Well, I got a radio, John. I mean, like, you know, well, I've heard Eminem.
Well, no. Well, I'm saying previous to that, where
you know,
like, you know,
the Chronic.
Well, I will say this one thing.
I got that one.
Eminem. I think sort of maybe as like a white guy coming out of the suburbs, you'd say that. But was very deeply involved in hip hop before he emerged. I think that it was very interesting to all of a sudden have sort of a perspective that maybe you could relate to, or like see, like already watching local guys do it, already watching local guys make this music and be like, wow, local guys can do this. But then seeing someone that's like, oh, wait, I'm allowed to do this as well. Like I can do something
that's
and be
right.
involved in the culture.
John's right.
I think I watched kind of like an ebb and flow, you know, when it started out. The first rap records that we heard were definitely like Run DMC. It's like that. Their first single. It was 1983. It was that summer, man. I had this apartment. Well, Rapper's Delight and a few things like were out there. But the first one that was like I felt like I was contemporary with it. I was like vibrating at the same thing. I mean, Rapper's Delight was out and a few other things I had heard. But that summer, walking down Third Street, the Hell's Angels block, it was my first real apartment, like in New York City. And you just could not – all you ever heard was The Message and the first Run DMC single. And it was brutal. You know, both those songs were brutal. Man, but the Run DMC song was just this drum machine. I mean, there was no, like, guitars. There was no mixing on it. There were no samples on it. It was just this, like, minimalist, monolithic, like power,
they were
very street, you know, not smooth at all.
But in a way, it was also making people dance, and it was this interesting – dynamic of them talking about maybe what would be considered negative things happening in the city at the time to this sort of upbeat, like up-tempo thing where people were actually celebrating the fact that they were living those lives, you know? Like it was almost a celebration of storytelling of what people were going through.
Stuff is great.
Well, I thought The Message was like, you know, the greatest song I ever heard about New York City, and it was definitely, it wasn't my reality necessarily, but you look around in 1983, I mean, should I have gun pointed at my head one night just walking down the street on 12th Street and, you know, Alphabet City drug corridor just waiting for someone to come down and,
luckily,
you know,
you didn't turn around and see it was me.
You know, guys like standing there like pointing a shotgun at my fucking head, and he's like, hey man, I'm doing business here. And that was the reality back then. And he realized, you know, I'm just a white boy going to see my other, you know, college buddy.
Sure.
You know, I mean, we weren't a threat, but he was like, man, you can't be standing here. It was a different reality then.
No, it was. You're right. I think the music made people universally feel good, even though it had a real content. But just like what John said, it was party music in a way, and it just
of course
made,
it was.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Then when White Lines came out, I mean, that was like one of the great party songs of all time, even though The Message was definitely anti-drug. I'd be standing in the Roxy smoking angel dust while the guy was singing Don't Do It.
Yeah, well, it's really funny. The history of that song is he was actually doing White Lines when he wrote that song. And I mean, I think the interesting thing about hip hop is I think that it's like any other. There's been this sort of alienation where like you can't listen to it unless you're from that lifestyle. But we don't apply that to any other musical form. Just because I'm not from the Deep South and didn't grow up like going to blues shacks, that doesn't mean I don't have the same appreciation for someone telling their story.
You know, I'm going to apply that rule though to reggae, okay, and the Clash.
Sure.
And I say no more, Michael.
That's it.
You know, I agree with you. I
apply that rule to playing reggae.
You don't have to say anymore. That's true. I like.
Well,
that.
You know, the question
that's
whether
Zeke.
White guys can play the blues is sure, of course they can.
Sure.
Just
not very well.
No, it just sounds different because, and I posit Frank Sinatra, Hank Williams, Mick Jagger,
my
Van
favorite
Morrison,
blues man,
Dr. John. You know,
Sinatra.
But Sinatra, you don't. Yeah. I call that the blues.
Yeah,
that was the blues around.
It makes me blue. Yeah,
no one cares. The wee hours. I mean, you know.
I like Elvis personally.
I love Elvis
Presley. And,
you do?
Of course,
you
know, we love Elvis.
Some people don't. Some people don't.
Well,
we
you know,
got
I mean, Chuck D
a
is
million
still
plates up on the wall.
Chuck D is still singing that fucking line. You know, Elvis was a racist. The most sucker was racist. You know, the whole bit in Power, Fight the Power. And someone like, I know he apologized at some point. Some explainers like Elvis is no racist. Elvis loved. You know, black people. That's who he learned how to sing from. Yeah. He wasn't like co-opting something. He wasn't like one of these like you know Jews like Morris Levy or something. He was like really
now, wait a
you
minute.
Know out, yeah. out there like you know he wasn't signed.
Morris Levy was one of the nicest men I've ever met.
Never signed a contract with him.
I never
your
signed
manager. It. Your manager standing right behind you today, by the way. which I
met Morris on several occasions, but
he was but you know he was no thug Elvis. I mean, there's a famous story in the 50s. The first time he went to Elvis before he you know was blown up. You know he went to see Fats Domino and he went up to Fats Domino and he gave him a big hug and all these people took pictures and Colonel Tom said and he said you can't print that, it will ruin his career. Mm. You know embracing you know an African-American you know
yeah,
entertainer.
And I mean,
Elvis learned at the feet of like great blues musicians in Mississippi. Those were his friends.
Well, I think that he's just the spokesperson for you know for that for representing what has happened over and over again, which is people imitating musicians imitating stuff that black musicians did and then gaining fame and sort of giving no credit to where it's due. So maybe he wasn't per se a racist, but I think the behind his image and what he stands for is the issue that probably Chuck D had a problem with.
I think it's sadly for a group of guys that like are so you know on the politically on the cutting edge. And I mean, listen, in 1988, when It Takes a Nation of Millions came out, the Public Enemy second record, which is like to me the greatest record of that decade and maybe any fucking.
I got
decade.
Chills watching.
Dude,
videos
they were our like, MC5. I mean, that was like it was. So, it was so you know, and I mean, it was so much noisier than you know, than Sonic Youth. I mean, it was so much cacophonous than like you know white avant garde post punk music. It was so dry.
Sure,
it was so political, but I hate
it
to
was
say,
black
there,
punk
but,
rock.
But you know, and like, then you know,
there was
and,
a lot going on. I saw them at the Academy. They did a famous show at the Academy about the time when Mike Tyson was first coming up. And so it was a very exciting show because Tyson was at that show. And, you know, they did a shout out to Tyson in the audience and everything. And it was, you know, once they got the thing going and that, you know, the beats were great. The rhyming was great. They did a little dancing.
No, it was the greatest gimmick of all
they had,
time.
You know,
the
they had the
man,
guys
yeah, the
pretending
guy.
To be soldiers on the stage.
Yeah, man.
That was cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was a little scary and funny at the same time because they had the hype man.
Well, it's great.
You know?
Well, it's funny because, like, what is... It was necessary at that moment in time in the United States to have maybe some music that was a little scary to people. That was,
of course,
bringing these things that most people weren't thinking about in the middle of the country or didn't even realize were happening.
Right.
So, I mean, we're there now. Everything is so PC, and there's no one's really making people scared.
And no one's shocked anyway. Right now, we're
it was
in a place
dynamite,
right now.
And you could dance to it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot of people.
Oh, well, you know, I get back to Chuck D throwing that shit about Elvis, though. I mean, there's some, like, serious misinformation on those records.
You gotta let that
come on. Come on, Griffin. A lot of anti-Semitism. There's a lot of, like, there's a dark side to that shit. And, you know, I gotta tell you, when Welcome to the Terror Dome came out, which is their follow-up, there was a first single from the next record after that. I mean, we waited for it. I mean, it was like, it's coming out Tuesday, and it was, like, Saturday, and we were like, getting excited, you know? Because it was like an event record, a thing that doesn't even happen anymore.
No, it doesn't.
You know, and I went up to 125th Street to the store I knew that would have, and I bought the 12-inch, and we just sat around listening to Welcome to the Terror Dome. I mean, that's a fucking hardcore mix. It was just like so hard, but unfortunately, you know, I think Professor Griff is back with the guys, right? That's a dark side to Public Enemy.
Well, there's been.
Hey, look, I mean, as one of the so-called frozen chosen, you know, I mean, you know, it's hard to countenance that bullshit, frankly.
Well, I mean, I think when you receive, it's very hard to like push your message of positivity and
betterment of your people when you're being negative towards another group of people. It sort of turns people away from what maybe you're trying to, the message you're trying to send, instead of bringing them in.
I agree with that. Unity, yo.
I don't know, Mike.
Unity. Peace, love, and having fun, you know?
Well, you know what? We have a walk-in guest here. Miles Barkin, who was there, he managed the Fleshtones through a very crucial period. I got to say, we're still friends.
Who was president at the time? Was that Carter?
Lincoln. he just blew in from Santa Monica. So we got a little thing going down here. We got the East Coast and the West Coast. Right, so I don't want to see anyone popping any caps in here. Well, I don't want to dig any slugs out of the walls. You know,
there's a real funny thing that goes into that whole idea of how that was marketed, and that was at the beginning of sort of hip hop really generating a lot of cash flow in the industry.
I like that idea.
So they developed sort of this rivalry between people where it got pretty dangerous, and that it was coming straight from the media.
Feuds sell tickets, dude.
Of course. It goes back to it's like fight promoting. If you can create a rivalry between two people, then you can promote both of their records at the same time,
sure,
in a manner of a rival. And you create fans on both sides. You create people that are rooting for these individuals based on what their character, their music, whatever. So
yeah. No, the truth was, it was good for the music too, because it was pushing people to the next edge. But I do, you know, when Public Enemy came out, I want to bring this back, even going back to The Message and Grandmaster Flash and the Soul Sonic Force and all these things that I was listening to, you know, in the early to the mid 80s, right, you know, up to the late 80s. It definitely split camps though among punk rockers,
right,
you know, and
I was on the side of the hip hop.
Good, you're OG, Zaremba.
I like the,
I was too, man.
I like the hip hop.
How could you not? But like when you was growing up here, it was real. When you were doing, it was all the time.
When you were doing though, like, you know, you were laying it down with the Raunch Hands. Like, you weren't worried.
Those guys did not like it though.
But you weren't.
That was a weird thing.
You weren't
Ray
worried
Charles
about like any drive by action from the Optic Nerve or the Headless Horseman or something like
that.
Yeah, you know?
Some of those thugs that hung out of the dive.
Yeah, right. So a little drive by, you know, with you and Chandler, you know.
I'll tell you what, the guys in the Raunch Hands, the band, you know, for all the great black music that we embraced and played, and, you know, those guys hated hip hop.
Well, they preferred it when the old black guys were dead or at least 70
and,
or 50
and
80
a lot
years
of people
old
that we know would embrace, like, oh, this is the black music we like, Little Richard and, you know, Ray Charles, and the black music they didn't like, which was definitely Public Enemy and Ornette Coleman.
Definitely,
and Bob Marley, which somehow, you know, was like uncool because it was like hippie thing. But I'll tell you what, I'm just going to go out and say it right now. I don't like people who don't like Bob Marley. Fuck them. They don't get it. He was a soul man. I don't, you know, this is not some like hippie,
I don't know.
Hippie, right. Hippie gonna, flinging
we see
shit.
Some.
This is like, this is like, no, it's a guy who's about unity. And
no,
like
he was
a positive
about unity.
Message and like an amazing performer.
I think it goes
people I don't like.
It's the instrument thing. It's the when you have musicians, it's to them it seemed very, I mean, I can understand too, at the time it was very much a promoted thing and they were finding ways to make money and it seemed very gimmicky and there was sort of this thing of like real musicianship and whether or not these guys were classified as real musicians,
oh,
like what they're
cats
doing. Yeah, yeah.
Turntables.
So I think at the time it was like sort of these musicians looked at these guys as you're coming in and sort of infringing on our territory as musicians and you're taking over when you're sampling our music and you're just making this stuff on drum machines that no one really understood at the time.
Well, it was like, you know, listen, the avant-garde is always, which I consider hip-hop to have been, like when it started up in the Bronx, it was like a real avant-garde, and it took a while for the mainstream to co-op. I mean, obviously, the second Pepsi realized they could sell some sugar water, you know, with a few beats, that was the beginning of the end right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the same thing with rock and roll, too, because they weren't going to put, like, you know, a screaming black
that
homosexual
was
like Little
end,
Richard
Mike.
Or
Pete
Zaremba on TV.
We've managed to draw
TV
that end out quite a while.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
And
I guess
still doing it.
There he is. Straight out of Mass with everybody.
Yeah,
man. Hey, well, I think we should lighten it up a little bit. We should throw
what
it out.
What do you mean, lighten it up?
Yo,
I heard John was a bartender.
Absolutely. I'm still the bartender.
You doing your chat? Yeah, yeah, yo. Kick me an old school beat. You ready, Zaremba? Come on.
Give me an old school
beat.
We're going
I'm
super
throw it
old school.
I'm going back. I'm going way back.
We're going old school. Uh oh.
Way two, back.
Two. He's being transformed. he's going so way back. Mike Edison.
Duke Edison.
Hey, now he's wearing like
an
animal fur. He's going so
all right,
far
kick
back.
It, y'all.
Say, man.
Yo, what's that, boy?
I want to tell you about your girlfriend.
Yeah, what about my girl?
You don't look strong enough to take the message.
I'm strong enough.
It might hurt your feelings.
Yeah, well, my feelings already hurt by being here with you.
Well, I was walking down the street with your girl the other day.
Yeah.
And the wind was blowing real hard.
Yeah, that right?
Yeah, and the wind blew her hair into my face.
Uh-huh.
You know what else happened?
No, B, what happened?
Well, then the wind blew her hair into her face.
Yeah?
Well, then we went a little further. Are you sure you want to hear the rest of this?
Well, we're here now. Might as well.
Well, then the wind blew her hair into the street.
Well, since you told me about my girl, I'm going to tell you about yours.
Well, yeah.
I was walking down the street with your girl.
Yeah.
I took her home for a drink, you know.
You took her home?
Just for a drink.
And then what happened?
Well, she was
just
so...
Just for a drink?
Just for a drink, but she was so ugly, she had to sneak up on the glass just to get a drink of water.
Well, you got some nerve to call somebody ugly, Mike. Well, you're so ugly, the stork that brought you into the world ought to be arrested.
Well, that's all right. My mama didn't have to put a sheet over my head so she could slip up on me.
Hey, look at there.
What's that?
Where are you from, Mike?
South America.
Where's that?
South America.
You sure it's not South Jersey?
I know who you are, man.
Who am I?
You're that thing I throw peanuts at the circus, yo.
Now, wait a minute, Mike.
You look like you've been hit with an ugly stick.
Oh, man. Wait a minute.
And the beat goes on. All right, Arts and Seizures, we're here with Gray Sky Appeal. Oh, man.
That's that classic battle material right there.
It's the dozens.
That's it. Eminem built a whole movie out of material like that.
That competition, that competitive spirit of hip-hop and the sport of outdoing the next man.
I guess I love Eminem. He's an angry young man.
I think that was sort of a stepping stone for me, and then finding these other one thing I just wanted to touch on is this, the great coming up. We talked about sort of the old era, but like when we were coming up in the 90s and early 2000s, there was this resurgence of independent hip-hop in New York and Boston,
right?
Specifically where we were. Put out some of the greatest artists.
Who?
And Acrobatic, Mr. Lift.
Lay them down. Tell us.
Rex.
Edon, Rex, all these guys. Brick Records was doing like amazing.
My hand goes up. My hand goes up here for Boston.
Edo.
Because I have always said that Boston is the hidden rock and roll capital of America.
I think it was. I think it was. It's changed quite a bit.
Since Aerosmith and the Jay Giles,
no,
band.
I'm not. To hell with those guys. I'm talking about real, like, really boiled down, tough rock and roll.
There was a great amount of...
And hip-hop.
Venues. There was a ton of venues and a ton of young kids that were into going to shows, so it was the perfect sort
of... And Boston is like one of the most segregated cities like in the fucking country.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a college town, so people come and go, so there's waves, and it is good and it's bad. Yeah, just like any city, I guess, but Boston specifically.
Boston had the music. I've seen him come, I've seen him go. About the hip-hop thing.
And Zaremba's still standing, barely.
Still there, right? Rock and roll, right? we're drawing out that end. We're going to see if it can last like four decades more.
It can.
You know, you're about to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Fleshtones. I saw it on my Mojo Wire. It came across.
It's incredible, man.
Unbelievable,
right? If I had known.
You have all the same people in your band.
Two of us. But we got the new guy, the drummer. He joined in 1980.
Wow. Yeah, that's a new guy.
That's when I was born, yeah. 1980.
Oh, man. Then, you
7 years, I think, we've been together as a group at this point. Yeah. So
that's dynamite.
It goes through, I mean, it's definitely a relationship. It's like having, you go through a lot of growth and when you're working with the same people on music over a long period of time.
It could either work that way or with the Fleshtones, it's actually retarded our growth so that Miles Barkin is here. He was there. You're backing it up.
I guess it depends on who you ask.
It's true. Yeah, true. You guys are growing, though. I like
to see
that.
Well, if you ask me, an unashamed plug for the Fleshtones, definitely one of the great American rock and roll bands. And our plug for the book Joe Bonomo wrote about the Fleshtones.
Sweat.
Fantastic book.
America's Garage Band.
And you guys got a book written about you?
Not yet.
You got to get that book. Mike, well, he writes the books himself. That way he gets the books written about him.
That's great. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's sort of an interesting story. I think at some point someone will tell the story of sort of the independent hip-hop scene that has grown out of the Northeast and the West Coast and continues to thrive. I think there's a sort of a DIY underground thing that's been happening for a good 20 years.
Story's got to get told.
Oh, and always, you know, the double-edged sword. I mean, it's amazing that people have access and can do it. Can make a, you know, you can make a record in the box. They say, listen, studios are expensive, you know, and they're difficult to use, and you know, you need drums,
they're difficult.
Well,
to
no,
use.
I mean, if you're like one guy, you want to make a record, and you need to get five guys, and you know, and like record well. Listen, Liz is laughing.
Yeah,
digital how'd your recording session studios go this weekend, Liz?
I mean, digital recording changed everything
it
for
did.
Everyone.
It changed everything.
It made talented people be able to do things without a record label telling them they can or can't do it.
It also made untalented people be able to do things without
very
being
true.
Told.
Yeah.
It was, you know what it was like?
That's called democracy.
It was like that Star Trek episode where that alien dude, he soups up the Enterprise, and they're saying, oh, it can't do that, whatever warp, whatever nonsense.
He's always...
And that, it was very cool. He was a white guy, but he was an alien from another galaxy, but he was white. And he goes... Watch this. And he pressed some button, and they go into like some hyper thing. That's what they did to the dudes in the studios. You know, like all the, you know, it's like, you can't.
I believe
that
was Hank Shockley in real life who pushed that button.
Right? I was in audio production school at the cusp of the change.
Oh, man, and you decided.
So it's funny. They had us learning on these SSL boards that were like, you know, we were doing everything to DAT and all of a sudden Pro Tools came in.
Don't you hate DATs? Who hates DATs?
I hate him.
I hate that.
At this point, I think it's, you know...
It's right. It's a
all
moot
right.
Point.
We're going back to mono. We're bringing it
Miles?
Back to tape.
The
As
of
always, Mr. Zaremba, Count Zaremba, and Grace Scott Peel, well, John and Zeke and Miles, and Liz in the booth. It's John been the Zeke? Fastest half hour
internet
today.
Don't tell me.
We're going out. Grace Sky Peel. I'll put on my Joel Franklin voice for one more second.
Wait a second.
You guys have any gigs?
You can't go yet.
It's done. We're out. We're gone.
Wait, but Miles didn't tell us what was going on in Santa Monica. What type of beats are going on?
Something to look forward to.
He's going
to
tell us the greatest story ever.
We got the Super Bowl coming up.
Oh, Super Bowl.
Judy Maguire's coming back for Valentine's Day.
The Super Bowl?
Day.
Really?
We got all sorts of shit coming up. But we're going out with Grace Sky Appeal. You guys do any local appearances? Any appearances?
Yeah, where are these beats going
where we can
down?
Find
we're busting these beats, baby.
Bring it back. We're at Transpico's February 23rd, and then we're doing something in Pittsburgh, April.
We're in Pittsburgh.
Spirit Lodge. Is the name of the spot that we're playing at in Pittsburgh.
It's Zaremba keeping it real.
That's
yo.
For John,
all
right. Ex-bartender. I'm glad you got out of that.
Great Scott. Like thanks to Liz the Booth. Thanks to everybody out there in Radio Land.
That's my
our sponsor, Roberta's. Please remember, we are member supported. Push a button, give some money. Maybe these guys come over and play your kids' bar mitzvah.
When does the show begin, Mike? Yes, I'm waiting for the show. Has it begun yet?
Yeah.
Yo, here we go. See you next week.
Break us all to wake us all. I give it all I tried. Now, come on.
Scream the wake
us come on. I say, come on.
As long as they don't waste my time.
Now, let's go. Even if I gotta break us all to wake us all. I give it all I tried. Now come on.
Scream to wake and sleep it. It'll probably make the beat. As long as they don't waste
come
my
on.
Time.
Now let's come. Go. A great one said, don't ever let the pan stop dripping. Dead womb, stomach, but a lot kicking. Lies different since hip hop switch. Kenny, you not reassemble the click. The click walks in, fuck sound check. We take the room back. Slay shows, OGs recognize boom bap. Styles raw, watch me spit a solid water rest. Riots in the street when they hypnotize a hooligans. Slit. Tired of lunatics, rummaging the black plague, stomach in the unborn, creeping on the last days. New world order in a slaughtering house. Noah's sheep is a wolf by the froth in his mouth, the black in his eyes, something else pumping his blood. Pillage a village, real to real, summoned by slugs. Talking magic just to find it was hoax. The gray is on point, the sundial is spoke.
Yo, even if I gotta break us all to wake us all, I give it all I tried.
Now come on,
scream to wake the sleeper, it'll probably make the beat persist as long as they don't waste my time.
Now let's
time. Even if I gotta break us all to wake us all, I give it all I tried.
Now come on,
scream to wake the sleeper, it'll probably make the beat persist as long as they don't waste my time.
Now let's go.
Yo, contusion, black and blue, elude illusions that I knew. Crack a brew for all the bruises, practice proving that my truth, hematobin, bleed meaning, even if the reason stay, deeper cut, coagulate, rip the scab and agitate, infected by the razor blade, said he knew the consequence, Occam in a document, needed more than oxygen, rule the thumb hypothesis, principle of honestness, picture how I stitch it like a doctor in the offices, ticking clock, pick your pocket, stolen sign, watching it, burn them proof, learn them oops, better switch the topic quick, searching for the ominent, long stop arguing, sleep a wasting day, undercover not accomplishing, who am I to judge? Flooded with a toxic mix, bottle for the sud, probably should've bought a lotto pick. This is how it was, well wishing for tomorrow. Get closer to the coffin each moment as a monument. Even if I gotta break us all to wake us all, I give it all I tried.
Now come come on.
Scream the way you come on. It'll probably
I
make
said,
you come on. As long as they
said,
don't waste my time.
Now let's come.
Even if I gotta break a soul to wake us all, I give it all our time.
I said, come on.
Scream the way you sleep in. It'll probably
I
make
said,
you
come on.
Just as long as
said,
they don't waste my
on.
Time.
Now let's come. As long as they don't waste my time.
Yum.
As long as they don't waste my time. Let's go.
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.